Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll anticipate the next wave of prospect call-ups.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Friday, May 7th. I'm Al Melchior, and with me here to wind up a busy, busy week is Derek Van Riper. And DVR, I suppose the really big story today is one that maybe shouldn't, at least on the surface, really be a big story. And I'm talking about the Angels designating Albert Pujols for assignment. I didn't really expect that he was going to last the whole season with the Angels, with that long, long contract finally winding down. But when I saw the initial tweet from the Angels account, it was a little jarring. And I guess maybe I didn't expect it this soon. But, you know, emotions aside, I mean, there are a number of wrinkles to the situation now that we need to pay attention to. So the obvious one is Jared Walsh now playing first base full time, but I think his playing time was probably solidified anyway. But so the question is, who then fills Walsh's spot? That's where all the intrigue is. Where do you see this going in the short and the long term?
So coming into the season, I thought with the delayed start to AAA, it was going to be Brandon Marsh getting to the big leagues before Joe Adell came back. And the reason I thought that was because Adell had such an inflated strikeout rate during the shortened season upon arrival that it was going to take him a few weeks to prove at AAA that the swing and miss problems he was having had been resolved. And I think that was actually a fair sort of expectation. A lot of times it's service time manipulation, but I don't think that was the case at all. I think the performance dictated time in the minors. The timing, though, right now is curious because Brandon Marsh has a shoulder injury. So he's not ready for the start even of the minor league season. He's not ready to join the Angels right now. So it might be someone like John Jay who has to temporarily fill that spot. And maybe they mix and match and platoon and just get by Taylor Ward against lefties, John Jay in there against righties for a couple of weeks until Marsh is healthy. Or maybe they've seen something from Adell in the alternate site, because it's not quite the same as last year at the alternate site. There were games being played. There were unofficial games with out a lot of stats that are making it to the public domain, and it's possible that they saw what they needed to see from Adell, and we'll get some news relatively soon that they're giving him another look. I mean, that wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world, because the reason they DFA'd Pujols now is because they fancy themselves a team that could make the playoffs, and you don't have a below replacement level player playing often on a playoff caliber team. So you have to put the first ballot Hall of Famer credentials aside and just say what's best for the 2021 Angels. That's what they did when they made this move. And what's best for them is getting one of those young outfielders up as soon as they have one who's ready, because John Jay really is just a placeholder.
Yeah, I think that much is obvious. And I'm just going to read a tweet from The Athletic's Fabian Ardaya. This is from Wednesday. So before this move with Pujols was made, although reports came out on Thursday that this was something that the organization had been pondering for about 2 weeks. So I think this is all part of a piece here. But Fabian's tweet here, again, going back to Wednesday, quote here from Lou Marson, manager of the Angels AAA affiliate, and one of several development guys. I'm just reading directly from Fabian's tweet. One of several development guys at the alternate site this spring. And Marson said today that Joe Adell looked impressive and, quote, hit a bunch of homers, end quote, down in Tempe against the D-backs at their alternate site. and that Adell had been improved in the outfield as well. So I think, yeah, things have changed since we talked to Fabian during spring training, and he was pretty emphatic that Marsh would get the first shot most likely. And again, Marsh's own his own shoulder injury changes that calculation as well. But yeah, I think maybe there's been a flip here, and maybe we say see Adell first. But I mean, ultimately, you know, we're interested in finding out how do both of these outfielders get up. And at this point, that's not really clear. You know, maybe it takes an injury, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how that works yet. The situation could be very fluid. So we're, you know, speculating here on who's first and what the timetable is and all that. But yeah, exactly. It really depends on the development and the health of everybody involved. So it's going to be a very interesting situation, that's for sure. And staying on a similar track here, Jared Kelnick made his AAA debut on Thursday night. And this was coming on the heels of a tweet from John Morosi of MLB Network, where he had said that he thought that Kelnick could make his debut for the Mariners sometime in the month of May. So, you know, we see this every year, you know, about this time of year, early May, mid-May, you know, we have our Fabapalooza and all the big name prospects come up. So it looks like we're right on the heels of that. And I'll add one more name to the mix here, not certainly on the same level as Adell or Marsh or Kelnick, but a report here from Anthony DiComo of MLB.com that the Mets have told Khalil Lee, the outfielder that they got in that three-team Andrew Benintendi trade, that Lee should be ready for a call-up. And this does have fantasy implications because in 2019, Lee stole 53 bases at AA Northwest Arkansas. So there's certainly some appeal there.
Where do you think Khalil Lee fits in the Mets outfield, though? Because that's a pretty crowded situation. And they brought a few veterans in that are pretty like clear bench guys at this point. But when you look at them with health, I mean, it should be Dom Smith, Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto. Do they see Khalil Lee as a guy they can put in center and possibly platoon with Kevin Pillar?
That would, you know, I think that at least in the short term with the injury to Nimmo, you know, that seems the most likely path there. But what I hear you raising is, you know, longer term beyond that. And it's interesting because Dominic Smith's off to a pretty poor start. I mean, Michael Conforto's not really hitting that great either, but I think he's probably got a lot more, you know, given a lot more slack. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is just a short-term thing for Khalil Lee, assuming that it does happen. But, you know, I think sort of like that Angel situation, I think it's something that could develop over time based on health and whether or not somebody like, say, Dominic Smith kind of gets untracked.
I think the Mets have also had the type of start where I wouldn't be surprised to see a player like Dominic Smith get traded in June or July. I mean, they could move him to a team that is weaker at first base. He could play his natural position, and he'd no longer be looking over his shoulder, worrying about losing playing time late in games as defensive replacements take him out, right? I mean, I think there's a strong case for that if you're the Mets, because the pieces just don't quite fit unless you can make it to 2022 and you're assuming, you know, the universal DH comes back at that point. Pete Alonso and Dom Smith share first base and DH, and the problem goes away.
Yep, that's another outcome too. But, you know, or maybe, you know, Brewers, here we come. They could use somebody like a Dominic Smith.
They could.
Speaking of the Brewers, unintentionally smooth segue here, because we're going to talk about Corbin Burnes and a report here from Tom Hodgecourt that the timetable for Burnes to return from the COVID injured list is not going to be known until towards the end of this week. Well, you know, we're not far from that, but I take that to mean Saturday, Sunday. So for those of us who are wondering what to do with Burnes for next week, stay tuned. Maybe we will hear something soon. And news that certainly we, you know, are not eager to hear, Byron Buxton with an injury, a hip strain, day to day, but this does sound like the sort of thing that maybe would require an IL stint. Hard to say at this point, but you hate to see that with as great as Buxton's been playing.
Yeah, I mean, I know the extensive injury history of Byron Buxton is something that fantasy managers are frustrated by. He has the combo of the kind of soft tissue problems that have put him on the IL, but also extreme bad luck type things, multiple concussions, even going back to the minor leagues. So I think his lack of durability is also bad luck. It's not just that he's got a problem staying healthy. It's that he's been pretty unlucky throughout his career too. And given the step forward that he's taken and just mushed together 2020 and 2021 for him, he's got 22 homers and 6 steals in his last 62 games. That is just incredible to see that. So, yeah, like Buxton's becoming the star he was expected to be as a prospect, and another injury is cutting him down for now. I hope if it is an IL situation, it's only a couple of weeks before he's back out there and continuing his ascent toward being one of the league's best position players, because that's really what he has been over the past calendar year.
Yeah, that is for sure. And again, maybe it doesn't even go on the IL. So we've got the weekend to track that one. Jazz Chisel, maybe he comes back soon. He's been out with a hamstring injury, and he, for the first time since going on the IL, took part in some baseball activity. So good development there for Jazz Chisel. Not such a good development for Carlos Carrasco, who just as recently as a day or two ago looked like he might be back within a week or so. Now we're reading that his progress is going a little bit more slowly than the Mets had hoped. So he's been moved from the 10-day injured list to the 60-day, which means the earliest that Carrasco can come back for the Mets is late May. So stash him for a little longer. He is the caliber pitcher that is worth stashing that extra time. And so sticking with the Mets here, let's talk about just one or two standouts from Thursday. Not a lot of game-changing performances here, but I think one that's worth talking about is Taijuan Walker with a really nice start in St. Louis. 7 innings, no earned runs, 1 unearned run, just 1 hit, no walks. So pretty immaculate performance there. 8 strikeouts. And a stat that I talk about on and off here, DVR, is Z contact, the contact rate on swings, on pitches in the zone. Walker's rate is outstanding, 78.9%. Anything below 80 is really very, very good. Overall, not getting, an elite rate of swings and misses, 10.7%. That's pretty standard, but getting a lot of called strikes, and the contact he's allowing is typically on pitches that are outside of the zone and typically create less damage. So pretty promising for Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, the main thing with Walker for me is just it's similar to Buxton. Injuries have slowed him down, and he's finally sort of reaching that level we thought he could reach when he was a lot younger, when he first broke in Seattle. I want to see if home run suppression is a skill that he's really been able to pick up, because even in the shortened season when he pitched well in 2020, 8 homers and 53 and a third innings, homers were a problem for him then, and they're a problem for him earlier in his career as well. So keeping an eye on that rate and the walk rate, but really like what we're seeing overall from Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, very much so.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's take a look ahead to Friday. Just a few streaming options here. I really like all of these. Rich Hill at Oakland. They're going with Sean Manaea. Of course, you never know how deep Hill might go or not go in the game. I'm always up for streaming Wade Miley. He's got Cleveland. That's an away start for him. They're going with Zach Plesac. And then Mike Foltynewicz gets the Mariners. Can see if he can no-hit them. And Mariners have TBD listed, but I think it could be Chris Flexen just based on, the amount of rust he's had. So Hill, Miley, Fulte, what are your inclinations here?
If I had to use one, it's Fulte at home against Seattle. It's just because he's at home and I like the matchup. I think Hill and Miley both kind of scare me a little bit in these spots, so I'd be very careful with them.
Okay, and let's look even a little farther ahead to the weekend and Fab. I've already talked up Evan Longoria this week on the show, picked him up in a 12-teamer this weekend. He's available in the majority of leagues on ESPN, Yahoo, and even CBS. So at least check and see if he's out there, because he's been one of the best power hitters in terms of exit velocity so far this year. But I want to talk a little bit about Tyrone Taylor, DVR, because it seems like you're very excited about what he's shown so far. But where does the playing time come from?
Well, I think it comes from the possibility of Avisail Garcia maybe playing his way out of a role at some point. The Yelich injury, of course, he's back on the IL. it would take basically Tyrone Taylor out hitting Billy McKinney to just take the full backup outfielder job away. That's what I see as his best short-term path. But I think the thing about Taylor that's really kind of caught my eye, he's hitting the ball really hard, especially when he hits the ball in the air. And I think this is a guy that's had a lot of injuries as a prospect. So when you look down at what he's done throughout his time in the minors, it's easy to get a little bit underwhelmed simply because the numbers don't jump off the page. So I just think it's one of those guys that years ago, people were a little bit excited about him in prospect circles. The luster has sort of faded, but we're seeing a player that actually does have the skill of hitting the ball very hard and possibly even filling in center field if injuries strike the Brewers there again.
All right. And on the pitching side, I really like Aaron Sanchez this week. Good matchups at home versus Texas, on the road against the Pirates. I make the case in the planner, so we just urge that maybe you go check that out and talk about some other pitchers and hitters to target for the week ahead. And we'll talk about that a little bit on the Monday show as well. So DVR, any final thoughts on the Fab Pool?
No, looking forward to breaking it down on Sunday morning, though.
All right. So, yeah, be sure to listen then. In fact, I'll be joining you on that show. So we'll do that then. And again, talk it up a little bit more on Monday morning as well on this show. So until then, for Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melchior, and we will be back here on Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.